Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Look at any alcoholic beverage and you'll find a warning from the Surgeon General of the United States. Women should not drink alcoholic beverages during pregnancy because of the risk of birth defects. Yet data collected by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention indicate that 1 out of 10 pregnant women report they drank alcohol in the last month, and 1 in 33 report binge drinking, consuming 4 or more alcoholic drinks in a few hours. According to the American Academy of Pediatrics, prenatal exposure to alcohol is the leading preventable cause of birth defects and intellectual disabilities in children. These impairments can range in severity and are known as fetal alcohol spectrum disorders, FASD. Kathleen Mitchell is vice president and international spokesperson for the nonprofit National Organization on Fetal Alcohol Syndrome. She is a licensed clinical alcohol and drug counselor, and her daughter, Carly, has fetal alcohol syndrome. Kathy Mitchell, welcome to On the Record.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Tell us some of the signs and symptoms of fetal alcohol spectrum disorders.
Well, some of the signs may be visible in some individuals with FASD and sometimes not so much, but may include things like learning disabilities, hyperactivity, attention deficit disorder, memory issues with some a lower IQ, and just problems with judgment and reason, and maybe mental health disorders.
The CDC says it's difficult to determine exactly how many people have fetal alcohol spectrum disorders. Why is that?
Some of the issues are that women don't remember that they drank once they become pregnant. They really believe they haven't drank during pregnancy. They don't want to discuss their drinking with their physician. And there's so many physicians that graduate still from our medical and allied health programs here in the United States that they do not receive education about alcohol and pregnancy. And they really, FASD is off their radar screen. So they really just aren't seeing it. They're diagnosing the symptoms that come along with FASD, but not asking the questions about prenatal alcohol exposure.
Let me clear up a difference in terms. What is the difference between fetal alcohol syndrome and fetal alcohol spectrum disorders?
Well, fetal alcohol spectrum disorders, or FASD, is really an umbrella term that encompasses all the disorders that result from prenatal alcohol exposure. Fetal alcohol syndrome is the most visible and the term that most people have heard of. So fetal alcohol syndrome was first described in 1973 for a diagnosis of FAS that would require a physician to see specific facial features, some growth retardation at any one point in time in the person's life, and some measurable central nervous system or brain damage. Where FASD could include facial features, maybe some growth issues, maybe birth defects, but for most, it's really brain damage. It's a whole spectrum of possible issues that can occur that may make learning difficult and memory and attention very difficult.
Based on studies in other states, your organization, the National Organization on Fetal Alcohol Syndrome, estimates that between 17,000 and 44,000 public school students in Maryland may be affected by prenatal exposure to alcohol. What kind of impact could that have on their success in school?
Well, for a lot of children with an FASD, they have difficulties in school, and some will have specific learning disabilities. But all in all, I think one of the real troubling issues is that we know that an early diagnosis can prevent some of these problems, because for most of these students, they need extra help, extra support. They need one-on-one support, and they need some modifications in their curriculum and how they learn. They may learn differently than other students. But because the majority of people with FASD can have certainly a normal IQ, it may present as being very typical students, those are the students that really suffer, because it may appear as though the child's not trying, that the child is being lazy, that if the parents would just try harder, he could learn, without really truly understanding that this is a child with a disability, not a child who's being willfully disobedient.
That's Kathy Mitchell, Vice President of the National Organization on Fetal Alcohol Syndrome, here on The Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about the disabilities caused by prenatal exposure to alcohol. Kathy, if you're willing, I'd like to talk about your personal connection to fetal alcohol syndrome. You were 18 when you gave birth to your daughter, Carly. Tell us about that pregnancy.
When Carly was born, I was very young, and Carly was my second child. So, you know, the short story is I was a kid that grew up in the 50s and 60s, and alcohol was just part of the landscape. My father was an alcoholic, but we had no idea what alcoholism was back in those days. But I got pregnant and had three children, very young, was married very young, and of course, water seeks its own level. I married a young man who was also dealing with addiction, but we just didn't understand that. We didn't understand that we were experiencing the progression of alcoholism. So when I got pregnant for the first time back in 1970, I stopped using all the recreational drugs that kind of went hand in hand with the Woodstock era and continued to drink alcohol, mainly wine and beer. And I basically drank more or less on the weekends. But the difference between my drinking and maybe someone else's drinking is that I had a very high tolerance. So from the onset of my drinking, I could drink a lot and, you know, with less effects. So I had one, two, three children, and every time I did the good thing, I was a good little mommy, I was a good girl, and stopped using drugs and drank periodically. But I will tell you, with each pregnancy, I probably drank more and more because that's the progression of alcoholism. And I left that marriage. I went on to have two more children. Unfortunately, my fourth baby, a little boy, died at birth, and my last child died from sudden infant death syndrome. Speed up to today, I am a woman in long-term recovery. I have been sober in 12-step recovery for going on 33 years. I, you know, have been working in the field first in addiction, developing programs for women and children, and then went to work with NOFAS and have been a staff there for nearly 20 years. But what I found out in my recovery is that all of the children that I had exposed to alcohol had suffered. And I certainly had no idea during that time that that was something dangerous to use. So I have two children that did not survive infancy, and I believe that they both passed away due to the fact that they were exposed to alcohol. Alcohol is actually a leading known cause of both fetal and infant death, including sudden infant death syndrome. We certainly didn't know that then. My daughter with full-blown fetal alcohol syndrome was not diagnosed until she was 16 years of age. When she was born, I was handed over a healthy baby girl. And she developed ear infections and had struggles in school, and later in life was diagnosed with cerebral palsy. And at age 16, after I had been sober a couple years working on getting my degree and stumbled upon FAS, I brought her to Georgetown University Hospital, and she was diagnosed with fetal alcohol syndrome. So Carly is 43 years old and still lives at home with us. Carly developmentally is about 6 years of age, but I have to say that Carly is one of the people that is very severely affected by being prenatally exposed to alcohol.
What is Carly's life like?
Well, first of all, let me just say she is a doll. She is the sweetest person you'll ever meet. Everyone loves Carly. But again, Carly cannot cross the street. Carly will look both ways. and continue to walk in front of a Mack truck, you know, because she can't put all that together. Carly got a certificate in school, so she went to school until she was 21 years of age. But Carly always needs to have someone with her. She always needs an external brain to help her make daily decisions. As Carly's gotten older, she's become more disabled because I think when she was in school, she had the structure and support. And so we create an environment for her that is loving, with support. She likes to horseback ride. She likes to swim. And she likes to play with baby dolls. And she collects pocketbooks. And she loves to come to work at NOFAS, the National Organization on Fetal Alcohol Syndrome, and work as a volunteer for us.
How did you cope with the knowledge that your drinking was the cause of her disabilities?
Well, when she was first diagnosed, I fell apart. I remember sitting out in the parking lot of Georgetown and just weeping. I just couldn't believe that alcohol, that wine, back, you know, when I was pregnant with her, I mainly drank very inexpensive wine because I was a teenager and, you know, and I thought I was being such a good mom. You know, I tried to eat healthy. I went for prenatal care and all that, but I just wept. And as fate would have it, Georgetown University asked me to provide a keynote at an international perinatal conference that they were hosting a few months after Carly's diagnosis. And I gladly accepted that offer. And when I spoke at that conference, you know, it was very healing for me. But also, it introduced me to then Senator Tom Daschle's staffer, who was actually in the audience, and invited me to testify on behalf of the first comprehensive FAS bill. And the woman that was founding NOFAS was in the audience and asked me if I would work with her to build this organization. So, you know, what has worked for me is to become an advocate and a spokesperson. And, you know, I can't change what happened to my children, but what I can do is let people know, let other women know, empower them with the facts that it's not worth the risk. It's not worth the risk if you're an alcoholic drinker, a binge drinker, a college-age student, or a well-educated woman who drinks wine with dinner. None of that is worth having to live with the knowledge that something that I did caused my child to suffer every day. What I did during pregnancy may have led to the death of two of my children. That is not something that I want anyone in the world to ever have to live through because it's very painful.
You have spoken about the stigma of being the mother of a child with FASD. People who were sympathetic when they assumed Carly had cerebral palsy, less sympathetic to you when they learned you had drunk alcohol during pregnancy, even though it was before there were warnings about it. Is there a way to change behavior without that stigma?
The stigma is a big issue. We have not come very far with preventing alcohol-exposed pregnancies. And unfortunately, when a child is diagnosed, the finger pointing usually goes to the mom. Very rarely does the finger get pointed to the partner that may be drinking with the mom, buying alcohol, and sometimes even encouraging use. The finger doesn't get pointed to the physician that doesn't take the time to get women who clearly, you know, need more help to steer them, you know, into, you know, the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous or to see an addiction professional. many physicians don't take the time to even educate even young women about if they're sexually active and drinking, that there's certain risks, like they might with other issues. So the finger doesn't get pointed to them or to the alcohol industry. So I think the stigma is a big issue. We're trying to get at it. And, you know, one of the things to know is that in my many years of working on this issue, I have never met a woman who purposely harmed her own child. This is something that a lot of times it happens by mistake. Women don't know they're pregnant. They stop drinking, and yet they still can have a child with effects. Women who suffer with addiction or who were binge drinking, maybe in college, and unfortunately ended up pregnant and not realizing it. So this shouldn't be a witch hunt, and the stigma doesn't help anyone, but it always hurts.
I am very grateful to you for talking to us about this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Kathy Mitchell is Vice President and International Spokesperson for the nonprofit National Organization on Fetal Alcohol Syndrome. She is a licensed clinical alcohol and drug counselor, and her daughter, Carly, has fetal alcohol syndrome. Short break now, and then a Stoop story. I'm Sheila Kast. This is On the Record. Stay with us.